hear with sincere hearts, to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the guilt of my sin.
All powerful God, merciful Father, I, the poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness.
O Lord,
and I renew your commandments.
I rejoice at your word.
Like one who finds great soil.
7 times a day I praise you.
For your just and righteous decrees.
Great peace have those who love your law.
Nothing can make them stumble.
My soul keeps your testimonies.
I love them.
Thank you. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith we may receive through your bountiful mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, the first and second chapters. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw: O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, and look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence?
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless
God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him all thy times, O pour out your heart before him. God is
those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love.
For you will render to a man according to his work. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. The readings from the letters is from St. Paul. St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under her.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from Luke's Gospel, especially verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." This is our text. Here in Luke 17, we ought to remember that Jesus is on his final journey to Jerusalem. His face has been set to go to the cross, and he is headed that way full steam. We meet Jesus here in a little moment when he has kind of a pause from all of the public teaching and miracles that he's done, and he has now the opportunity to teach his disciples, his apostles, to speak with them about things that are coming and what they will encounter as they live their lives as Christians in this world. And the primary topic that Jesus speaks about here is the topic of sin and forgiveness. Sin and forgiveness, which are such central things to Christians and to the church, but you might say so central as well to life in this world. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come." It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Jesus speaks here about the reality of life in this world. It will be impossible to live in this world without there being offenses of one kind or another. Things that cause people to sin, or temptations that lead them, or things that trip them up. The picture that Jesus gives here can be illustrated with a picture. The picture would be one that is probably familiar to us here in New England. Picture walking on a hiking trail that you know well. You could walk it in the dark. And suddenly you walk that trail one day, and you trip. Because one of those stones has suddenly reared itself up in your way and caused you to fall over and stumble. A rock that you never noticed before has pushed its way up through the earth and you trip over it. These are the temptations, the causes of sin, the offenses that Jesus is speaking about, and the reason why it is unavoidable that we encounter such things in this world is because, as the scriptures say, the imagination of man's heart has been evil since his youth. And all of these evil thoughts that come into the heart, they rise up then and they show themselves in evil deeds and evil words and evil thoughts. And unless a person is on their watch at every moment, they will find it challenging to subdue these things and to avoid them. And in fact, the majority of people in this world have no interest at avoiding such causes of stumbling and temptations to sin. One author that I was reading this week suggested that in this world, Christians will especially face causes of offense related to the Second Commandment and the Sixth Commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And the way that God's name and God's honor are so casually treated in our world. And the Sixth Commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And of course, I don't need to speak to your imagination because we see all the time the way in which God's design for the two sexes, for man and woman in marriage, is overthrown and thrown into our faces. Temptations to sin, causes of offense are sure to come, Jesus says. He's not excusing the offender, He's not condoning the sin, but in fact, he pronounces a woe. Woe to the one through whom they come. And woe to the one who causes even the little ones to sin. We can think here about how Jesus speaks, in a sense, about the great scandal that is caused when little ones, when children or new believers are caused to stumble. And the desire that Jesus has to protect and defend them. Better than causing a little one to stumble would be to have a millstone hung around one's neck and to be cast into the sea. For that person and their sin to disappear and be swallowed up. Jesus said it's impossible for these things not to come in one way or another, but he would guard and protect his believers. Young and old, new and long-time believers, protect them from these things. There is an interesting contrast between what Jesus says here in Luke 17 and what we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In the epistle reading today, Paul reminds Timothy not of the offenses that he has encountered, especially as a child, not in the way that he was tempted into sin, but rather in the way that his faith was deepened and grew. In contrast to the one who might lead others into sin, St. Paul speaks of Timothy's mother and grandmother. Grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, who faithfully passed on the Christian faith to Timothy, who taught him of Jesus Christ, of his death and resurrection. How our Lord himself was the one who went to the cross, who was willing to bear the sin of the world and be thrown into the heart of suffering, death, and hell to redeem all sinners and bring to them life and salvation. Jesus is concerned about the little ones and their faith, and he is concerned about you and me and our faith, that we might endure. Jesus goes on and says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Pay attention. It means there is instruction for us as Christians in this passage, and wisdom is called for in cases of sin and repentance, especially in the restoration of a sinner. Now, we probably aren't surprised when the world offends us. We expect it. What may be more challenging is when another Christian, a brother or a sister, offends us or sins against us. Jesus speaks to that here. He echoes the language from the book of Leviticus when Moses taught the people from the Lord, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. These seem to be the two options that are presented. On the one hand, to forgive our brother in love, or on the other hand, to hate our brother and speak harshly toward him. The opposite of hating here is to forgive. And I want to keep to the side for a moment the question of whether or not you can forgive someone who isn't repentant. We often ask that question, but Pastor, what about if the person isn't sorry? What about if they don't repent? That is a real thing, but we're not speaking exactly to that here. What Jesus is getting at is not so much whether how we react to whether the other person is repentant or not. Jesus is speaking here to the heart of the matter, which is the heart of the Christian that ought to always be ready to forgive. You see, I think sometimes we can use it as an excuse. If the other person hasn't repented and said that they are sorry, then we say, well, I don't have to forgive them. And so we withhold forgiveness and harbor an unforgiving attitude. But Jesus here is speaking about how it ought to be for us. Whether or not the brother asks for forgiveness, whether or not the sister comes to us in repentance, wouldn't we desire to have an attitude
of forgiveness? Wouldn't we want to be ready with that forgiveness for him or her, whether or not he or she asks? I mean, can you imagine Jesus after he rises from the dead with Peter, who betrayed him 3 times, saying, well, I'm not going to talk about forgiving him until he comes to me and says he's sorry. Our Lord wouldn't act like that. Our Lord, who is more than ready to restore the fallen sinner. So we can't say, well, I'll think of forgiving you when you repent, or when you repent enough, or when you show just how sorry you are. Jesus doesn't say, if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, then you can say, yeah, you better. You must forgive him. Forgiveness is the mark of the Christian church because it is the mark of Christ himself. And so I think it's important for us as Christians to think about and prepare for those moments now. For that person who maybe has or will offend you and sin against you, and how you will respond when they come and say, I'm sorry, I repent. You see, the heart of the Christian believer is one that partakes of Christ's and God's forgiveness in Christ. And the forgiveness that our Lord has no limit. You cannot plumb the depth of what Christ has done. How deep does it go? Well, how strong is the blood of Christ, the blood of God himself? You tell me. When one comes and asks for forgiveness, we are to forgive them in the name of Jesus. And the matter is to be left there. Whether it's our neighbors or our family, whether it's within marriage or at our workplace. And I always say this, when someone says, please forgive me, if they are a Christian, they are not saying my sin is no big deal. They are not saying just forget about it. They are saying, when they say please forgive me in Jesus' name, they are saying I know that what I did deserves that. I deserve to be crucified. But see in my place one who was crucified for me. And when you say to someone, I forgive you in Jesus' name, you are not saying that it is no big deal. You are saying that it is such a big deal that someone had to die. But thanks be to God, it's been done. The death has been died by Christ. He has paid the cost. But you can see how challenging this is. I mean, 7 times in a day, Jesus says, which sounds a little bit different than what he says in Matthew's gospel, when Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive them? As many as 7 times? And you almost get the sense that Peter's thinking over the course of a lifetime, but here it's 7 times in a day. How great would our love have to be to endure that? And you know, when Jesus says 7 times, he does not mean you keep your tally list, and when they get to 7, you give them that last warning. I mean, I can't keep track of a whole lot up to 7, much less my brother's sins. How deep would our love have to be? How great would our faith have to be to forgive like that? And you almost get the sense that the apostles realize that they are not up to this task. Where will we find such forgiveness? With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. So it says in the scriptures. And the you that's being spoken about is not you or me, but it's him, with our God. With you, Lord, there is forgiveness, therefore you may be feared. 7 times in a day. Did you notice that in the intro, the psalm verses that we read early in the service, right after the confession and absolution, the number 7 came up in a different way. 7 times a day, I praise you for your just and righteous decrees. The Psalms teach actually a pattern of prayer that you could say is a prayer that's sevenfold. 7 times of the day, what if we paused and prayed? 7 different hours. What if we prayed for God's strength to forgive 7 times in a day? Would our God provide what is needed to forgive that brother or sister? So rather than focusing on the 7 times that we ought to forgive our brother or sister, why not focus on the 7 times that we are to hear our Lord's word, to return to the strength that he provides, to call upon his name for help to forgive? We could say basic prayer in the morning and the evening, basic prayer before and after our meals. Morning, noon, and at night, we call out to our God for the help that we need to forgive, and forgive generously. I suspect that we're not always doing well with how we forgive our brothers or sisters. If you struggle to forgive, if you struggle to believe, if you struggle to know how to handle another's sin against you, you're not alone. You're numbered with God's people, with the apostles, who when they heard Jesus say this, they said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The apostles said, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, then you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and thrown into the sea,' and it would obey you." There is a sense in which this kind of forgiveness, forgiving our brother when he repents, forgiving him 7 times in a day, forgiving again and again and again, is countercultural and seems reckless and irresponsible. The world would tell us, don't forgive that much. So we cry out to our Lord, increase our faith. How much faith do you need to forgive your brother or your sister? Can you quantify it? If I had 100 units of faith, then I could forgive my brother or sister, but I'm only at 3.5 right now. What does Jesus do? He doesn't speak about growing your faith. Instead, he points to something that is small, even insignificant, something that actually looks pretty worthless when you think about it. And he says, that's the kind of faith you need. A grain of mustard seed. I mean, what do you expect out of a grain of mustard seed? Nothing. You're bound to lose it. It's so small, you won't be able to find it. But Jesus said, it's not the size of your faith, but look for something that is small, looks insignificant, and there you will find what you need. Look for something that gets planted into the ground and then grows into an abundant harvest. Look for your Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His crucifixion, which looks small, worthless, like it can't do a whole lot. And then he gets laid in the grave, and it looks like it's over. But you know, and I know, that our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the 3rd day, and he rose from the dead to bring forgiveness, life, and salvation for us and for all. Add to our faith, increase our faith. And rather than pouring more faith into us, Jesus gives us something better. He gives us himself. He says, you don't need me to pour more of something into you. You need more of me, and you need more of my life and my forgiveness and the salvation that I bring. I don't think it's a bad prayer that the disciples ask, however. And if you're not sure how to forgive your brother or your sister, you could do a lot worse than praying 7 times a day, increase our faith. We want our love to keep pace with the many demands that are placed upon it. I don't know how it is for you, but going throughout your day, there are demands on you, demands of love and of service and of care for your neighbor. And sometimes you feel like you're going to run dry. We ask our Lord to provide the love that is needed to keep pace with the demands placed upon us. We ask that our love would grow at the same rate as our faith. we seek to plunge ourselves ever more deeply into the depths of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. This is why 7 times a day, or at least once a day, we ought to open the Scriptures and have again the story of God's love for us pour into our ears and into our hearts and into our minds so that His forgiveness can flow through us. You see, it's only through that connection to Christ that we'll have the ability to forgive those who sin against us. We're never going to find the forgiveness in ourselves. It's only going to come from Him. It's why His word is so vital. Why the remembrance of our baptism is so significant. Why the Holy Communion is not just optional, but is needed. Increase our faith. Help us to forgive. Or as the father of the demon-possessed boy said in the book of Mark, I believe. Help my unbelief. We recognize that our faith isn't enough by itself. But our faith needs Christ. Even a little Christ goes a long way. And so here, you might say, the focus isn't so much on our faith or how well or poorly we believe, but the focus becomes on the one in whom we trust. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at how much or how little forgiveness you have. Look at Him and all that He has done and still does for you. Faith doesn't hold on to itself. Faith clings to Christ. Be uprooted and thrown into the sea, O mulberry bush. Give me the strength to forgive my neighbor their sins. And Christ is able to do it in us and through us. And then we come to the last part of the gospel reading today. Will any of one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep, I don't know how many of you have servants plowing or keeping sheep, but just say that you did, when he has come in from the field, will you say to him, come at once and recline at table, as if you're going to serve that servant? Will he not rather say to him, now that you're done out in the field, prepare supper for me and dress yourself properly and serve me while I eat and drink. And when I'm done, you can eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Another prayer that he places in our mouth. When we come before our God, not to boast about ourselves or what we have done or about our forgiveness. Lord, you know it was really tough to forgive my brother or sister, but I've done it. Aren't I pretty great? No, we come and we say we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. It's interesting. This is the second time that Jesus describes a situation in which a master serves the servants. This time he says, well, of course, the master wouldn't serve the servants. But in Luke 12, he says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, the master will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. It's an amazing parallel between these. On the one hand, Jesus says, don't think that the master is going to serve you. You've only done what was your duty. You don't deserve anything extra. But then on the other hand, in this other parable, Jesus says, you know, the master is going to clothe himself and have you sit down, and he's going to serve you. It's a beautiful thing to think of. On the one hand, we come and we should not expect our master to serve us. We should not demand his service. We should not say, you know, we've done a great job. You owe us. We simply come saying we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Forgiveness of our neighbor is not an extra. Forgiveness of our neighbor is not something that gives us merit before our God. It is simply our duty as Christians. But our Lord Jesus Christ does dress himself to have us recline at table that he might serve us. Not because we deserve it or are owed it, but because of his grace and his mercy. You see it on the front cover of the bulletin, that moment when Jesus with his disciples clothed himself like a servant and knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. You saw it on the night when he was betrayed, when he took bread. And he said, "This is my body," and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat." And then he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood," and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink of it." And what has your Lord Jesus Christ done for you today? But we walked in not boasting of our righteousness or our merits, but rather laying before him our sin, and he knelt down and he said, "I'll take it." And he washed it away with his absolution. And our Lord, who even now has a table prepared, set for us to feast on his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And I know that some of you here in the congregation are new and have not gone through the instruction for that, but we do desire for you to come and eat this with us soon. And we look forward to bringing you to that moment as well. He owes us nothing, but he gives us everything. We owe him everything, but he takes especially our sin. And he says, "This will be mine, and life will be yours." It is simply our job as Christians to be doing good works. It is simply our job to be forgiving our neighbors and showing love to them. And it is hard and it is difficult. And this is why the disciples prayed, "Increase our faith." And Jesus said, "Look not at your faith, but look at me. Like a mustard seed, I will make it happen by my own suffering, death, and resurrection." We are unworthy servants, but he himself has made us worthy by what he has done. How we live as Christians is all in a day's work, but what Jesus does for us is all in a day's work as well. For he has come, your master, with his forgiveness, with his love that is unbounded, with his grace and his mercy. And he says, "The righteous shall live by faith in me." God grant that to us as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, you give your people a spirit not of fear, but of power and self-control. Bless us with wisdom and charity, that we may confidently speak your word in faith and love to all who will hear. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, bless the Lakes Region Lutheran Church as they seek to plant and grow an embassy of your kingdom in New Hampshire. May your word in their midst sustain those who believe and bring to faith many who are now outside your church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, remember our pastors whom you have called to a holy calling.
embolden them in their testimony concerning our Lord Jesus. Strengthen them by your power to suffer courageously for the gospel and guard the good deposit entrusted to them. Sustain all Christians who suffer persecution for Jesus' name, especially our fellow believers in Indonesia, Nigeria, and Sudan, and grant them relief, Lord, in your mercy. Guide and bless the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Prosper its members' service as they use their hands to work for the Savior, their feet to go on his errands, their voice to sing his praises, their lips to proclaim his redeeming love, their gifts to extend his kingdom, and their will to do his will. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, lead husbands and wives to love and forgive each other and strengthen them in their life together. Help parents to be faithful examples for their children and grant that orphans may know the joy of a home to call their own. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, be with all expectant mothers, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma, and the children they carry. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, hear us on behalf of those who exercise authority over us, who order us according to your laws, who execute justice, and who defend us against our enemies. Bless our President, Congress, Governor, Legislature, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy. God, our rock, grant faith, perseverance, and if it is for their good, healing to those who are suffering the effects of sin in their bodies or minds. Especially for Linda Forte's brother-in-law, Jim, and sister, Karen, who are both hospitalized. Alicia, who is suffering from shingles. Melinda, who is hospitalized and awaiting treatment. Grant to her your care. Dave in his recovery, Gwen in her old age, Rick granting strength of body and spirit, Carol in her frailty, and John with his health. Be their refuge so they are not shaken, even in times of trouble. We also ask that you would grant your care and help to all who are treated for or live with mental health problems. Protect them, and by your Spirit, help them know and rely on your love at all times in their struggles. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, continually strengthen our faith through your word and prepare our hearts faithfully to receive the gift of Holy Communion, which brings the immortal body and blood of Jesus to our very lips. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, strengthen us against all temptation and guard our steps, that in our weakness or in our liberty, we do not cause others to sin. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, deliver us from temptation and the powers of evil, that we may be faithful unto death and receive from your hand the crown of everlasting life. Whether we live or die, we belong to you. Comfort us with this promise, that we may join the company of your saints on your appointed day and enter into the heavenly places to worship at your throne on high, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Through him, your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. Therefore, the cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's psalm is Psalm 103, verses 13 to 22 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.